Track 15. The great Yarmouth MP who incurred the wrath of Queen Elizabeth I. This month, our resident historian tells the story of John Stubb, who paid a high price for seditious behaviour.
The year 1579 was very cold in London. In the early part of the year, the snow had been so great that when it melted, the Thames flooded so badly that fish were found in Westminster Hall. It didn't get better, even as late as May. There was more than a foot of snow lying in London. So when, on November the 3rd, John Stubb mounted a scaffold constructed in Westminster Market to face punishment for sedition, he probably shivered as he addressed the crowd. The tone of his address was to reiterate his total loyalty to Queen Elizabeth and to ask the crowd to help him cope with the punishment he was about to face. He asked them to pray with him that God will strengthen me to endure and abide the pain I am to suffer, and grant me this grace, that the loss of my hand do not withdraw any part of my duty and affection towards Her Majesty. This punishment was the cutting off of his right hand. This action was carried out with the use of a butcher's knife forced through his wrist with a mallet. By one account, at least, it took three blows to remove the hand, and the wound was then cauterized by the application of a hot piece of iron. Stubb was reported to have then lifted off his cap with his left hand and shouted, "God save the Queen!" before fainting from the pain and being carried away to the Tower, where he was to continue a prison sentence. The crowd was reported to be silent, perhaps rather sorry for his situation. In this secular age, it's difficult to recall just what a huge role religion played in the 16th century, and to understand the reasons for Stubb's disgrace, it's necessary to leave his story for a moment and remind ourselves what was happening in the country at the time. So please forgive the following paragraph, covering 30-odd years in about 200 words. The death of Henry VIII had resulted in the accession of Edward VI at the age of just 9. Henry had, of course, begun the religious break with Catholicism in order to facilitate the annulment of his marriage to Catherine of Aragon. Edward was, in his short reign, to take a path to establishing England as a clearly Protestant nation. As a young teenager, he became terminally ill and sought unsuccessfully to block the succession of his half-sister Mary, the daughter of Catherine, from the throne, she being a devout Catholic. At his death, his efforts were thwarted when Protestant Lady Jane Grey was pronounced as his successor, but lasted little more than a week, as Mary and her supporters marched on London. Mary, as Queen, set out to reverse the Reformation started by her father and continued by Edward, egged on by his advisers. She was no weak woman. More than 280 prominent Protestants, including bishops, were burnt at the stake during her reign. Mary alienated both Parliament and the country by marrying Philip II of Spain, leading to a series of insurrections as she continued to reintroduce the Catholic religion and to punish those who opposed it. She became unpopular and attracted the nickname Bloody Mary as a result of her actions. Philip deserted her, and in 1558 she died childless, to be succeeded by her half-sister, Elizabeth, whose Protestant religious inclinations were less extreme than Mary's Catholic ones. Elizabeth was a woman of great shrewdness, and she needed to be. The country was divided, the state was weak, there was no standing army, and it was surrounded in Europe by more powerful states. Elizabeth rid herself of the Catholic zealots who had surrounded Mary, and chose her advisers wisely, although she made it very plain that hers was the voice that counted. She was clear-headed and courageous and intelligent enough to be aware of the dangers facing the country. She re-established the move to Protestantism, but did so cautiously, if determinedly. She was conscious of the need to develop relationships with one or more of the surrounding powers, and recognised that marriage to a foreign monarch might be one way to achieve such an end. She played a shrewd political game, changing the assumed preferred suitor at intervals. Arguably, she wasn't really interested in marrying any of them, simply playing one off against the others to gain time to establish a stronger country. One of those potential candidates was the Duke of Alençon, and it was in connection with this proposed marriage that Stubb was to fall foul of the Queen. John Stubb, sometimes known as John Stubbs, had been born in the village of Buxton in about 1543 and later became Member of Parliament for Great Yarmouth. But his claim to fame stems mainly from that punishment meted out to him when he upset Queen Elizabeth, to whom he professed total loyalty. Graduating from Trinity College, Cambridge, in 1561, he also studied law at Lincoln's Inn, as was then quite usual for men of his class who were not entering the church. From his father, he inherited an estate at Thelverton in South Norfolk, where he chose to make his home, as well as other property in the county. By the time of Queen Elizabeth's accession, John Stubb was just 15 years old, but he was already a convinced opponent of Catholicism. This opposition seemed to have strengthened during his time at Cambridge and Lincoln's Inn, where his views became increasingly extreme, and he became part of a group of others who shared those views. Alone among the possible suitors, the Duke of Alençon visited England in 1578 to pursue his suit, and negotiations about a possible marriage were opened. The Duke was a moderate Catholic. Stubb was far from alone in being horrified at the prospect. His reaction was extreme. He had become something of a zealot, and as can be the case with zealots, he was unable to control his tongue. In 1579, he published a pamphlet entitled "The Discovery of a Gaping Gulf Whereinto England is Likely to be Swallowed by Another French Marriage, if the Lord forbid not the banes by letting Her Majesty see the sin and punishment thereof." Elizabeth appeared to have taken something of a shine to Alençon, the youngest son of the French king, but she was cautious and aware of the considerable opposition at home. A marriage followed by the birth of a male heir might have had its attractions by stabilising the succession, but Elizabeth was already 46 and nearly twice the age of Alençon. The safe arrival of an heir was, at her age, far from probable. Stubb, not noted for tact when his hackles were raised, was foolish enough in his pamphlet to point out that Elizabeth was perhaps too old for childbirth, and claimed that in those circumstances the marriage was pointless. He also was immoderate in his language on the whole issue, accusing Alençon's family of suffering from sexually transmitted disease. He used phrases such as "contrary coupling" and "immoral union." He described the proposed marriage as being one between a cleanly ox and an uncleanly ass. All this was published by his friend Hugh Singleton. There was a quick response. Circulation of the pamphlet was banned by royal prerogative, and Stubb, Singleton, and a man called Page, who had helped to distribute the material, were all arrested, and Elizabeth initially demanded their immediate execution. She was persuaded instead to send them for trial on a charge of felony. But the jury refused to convict them, and they were then charged with inciting sedition. One judge took exception to this process and was himself removed from the bench and imprisoned. All three were found guilty and sentenced both to prison and to the removal of their right hands, though Singleton, who was nearly 80, was pardoned on the grounds of age. In 1581, Stubb was freed, and in 1589 he became MP for Yarmouth. He was also used by Elizabeth's minister, Burley, to write a repudiation of a subsequent pro-Catholic document. His punishment turned public opinion a little against the Queen, and his repeated confirmation of his loyalty to her may have softened her heart. She took counsel from her ministers as to the suitability of the proposed match with Alençon, and duly accepted their majority view that such a marriage was not suitable. Stubb died in 1591 while volunteering to fight with Henry of Navarre, a Huguenot, to bring an end to religious differences in France. He is said to have been buried with full military honours. He was clearly a man of strong opinions and a gifted scholar, but also a man who didn't mince his words. His story is a warning to all of us who write for publication to take care what we say.